Bob Ward in Huntsville, Alabama, again for Dr. Pickering, please. Certainly. Good afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
How are you today?
I got your little book.
Oh, good.
Yeah, very nice.
Well, thank you. It's a thin little volume, but it was fun doing.
Yeah.
And reasonably profitable.
Good.
How are you today?
Oh, fine, thank you.
Good. Have you had a chance to give a little thought
you
to what
know,
we talked about?
I'm trying to think of something else, and really I don't really come up with anything.
Okay.
It would be very helpful.
It is. Yeah. It is. I'll be happy to use that.
Otherwise,
I'm sure. Did you have much contact, face to face with Dr. Von Braun and he with you?
Yeah, we would be involved in meetings, usually with separate ways, working with our people.
Mm-hmm.
I
got you.
So we had, I don't know how often we'd meet, but a few times a year sort of thing.
Sure.
We would, day-to-day thing.
Do you recall any outstanding, any other incidents with, we'll say, Eberhard Reese or any of the team members with Von Braun?
No. Reese, he was a good man, by the way.
Good.
Yeah.
That's by pretty much all accounts, that's what I hear, that he was a pretty... He was Von Braun's hatchet man at times, or, Von Braun just hated confrontations, apparently. Or to criticize anybody on the staff, that fell to Eberhard.
Yeah, that's right.
He, as you probably know, passed away a few months ago. Right.
Yeah. I was interested in seeing Stuhlinger recently.
Yes. He's doing great. I was with him Tuesday.
Oh, you were.
There's a Alabama Men's Hall of Fame, and the entrance requirements are pretty stringent. You have to be deceased, and and they inducted Werner Tuesday down in Birmingham at a really nice luncheon, and Ernst was one of the presenters, in effect.
Yeah.
Dr. William Lucas, Marshall
right.
Center, right, retired director, made the main presentation, and Ernst unveiled the plaque or something. But he's doing great. So where did you see him?
Up there in Iowa, and Ben Allen, and he and I were together with this Jackson County Historical Society.
Oh, yes. Right.
He's celebrating Millikan's 75th anniversary of his Nobel Prize.
I see. Well, good. And
speaking of you have to be dead, reminds me of a story about myself.
Oh, is that right?
There's a crater on the moon that's called W.H. Pickering.
Uh-huh.
And I've had various people come up to me and say, what gives? You're supposed to be dead before you get the name on the crater. And I say, yeah, that's right. That's another W.H. Pickering.
Oh, really?
There was an astronomer around in the early 1900s.
Is that right?
With those initials. In fact, there were two of them, a W.H. and an E.C.
Well, and your middle initial is H, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Any kinship?
No relation.
No.
My family are all down in New Zealand.
I see.
Although I did have another time when and this did cause a minor incident, event.
Right.
Back in the days when I was a young graduate student, I did some present ray research, and another man and I went up to Bismarck, North Dakota, to do some experiments. And as we got off the train, we were met by some locals, they kind of looked at me, and they said, "Are you Pickering?" They whipped out a copy of the local newspaper, which had a story about our arrival, and of course a picture of this W.H. Pickering with a long flowing beard. There's this young graduate student gets off the train.
Is that right? I'll be darned. One further question, if I may. You were aware, of course, that Dr. Von Braun went to Washington at, I guess it was Tom Paine's urging in 1970, and Dr. Von Braun had mixed feelings about that. He foresaw that it would certainly lead to the breakup of his original team anyway. Then it, while I think there were some positive results of his going there, it was largely a frustrating experience. Did he ever share that with you?
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I think it was.
I see.
I think the obvious reason for it was that he had a great influence on congressmen.
Uh-huh.
He was a very charismatic individual anyway.
I see.
And in fact, he is the only witness at a congressional hearing that I've ever heard of where he came into the room, all the congressmen came down to shake his hand.
Is that right? He had that star quality, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I got you. Did he ever share with you any of his feelings or thoughts about his Washington service or with going joining Fairchild?
Yeah, no, I never talked to him about that, but I had the feeling that he wasn't very happy there.
Right, I got you. Well, Dr. Pickering, thank you for talking with me.
Well, thank you, and good luck with your venture.
Okay, thank you, and good luck with your business. It sounds like it's thriving.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Bye. How are you doing? Did you get my mailing to you?
Yes.
Very good. Well, you know why I'm calling. You had asked me to give you some time to collect a few thoughts about any possible Von Braun stories or anecdotes. And let's see, I'm getting very strong static or interference there.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello. There is still very bad interference. That's a little better now. Are you near any appliance or anything that could be interfering?
No.
Okay. Perhaps I could call you from my home phone. I live just about 10, 15 minutes away. May I give you a call in a few minutes? All right. Maybe the connection would be better. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello, this is Bob Ward in Huntsville, Alabama, calling again.
I'm sorry, but he had to leave because he had to get his teeth fixed.
Oh, I see.
So he says if you can call tonight, he'll be back.
All right. Neil, please.
Well, I talked to you before, didn't I?
Yes.
He's not in very good shape just now.
Oh, just returned from the dentist and everything?
Yes, too much along, yes. He did...
Is it all right? You
Where
feel
are
like
you, at
talking?
Home?
I'm at home.
Yeah.
I just tried to call by prearrangement Dr. I guess he'd been before your time, though. A.K. Teal. I guess A stood for Adolf. T-H-I-E-L. I think he left 54 or 55.
I don't
Right.
He was a big dog. In fact, I guess he was probably Von Braun's lieutenant, maybe before Reese took that.
Is that right?
Well, I don't know, but I think he was right in there.
Uh-huh.
He was in the top of the heap, that's no question.
Right, he must have gotten a great offer from industry.
Yeah. I think he went to General Dynamics.
Okay, I think I heard that too. Anyway, I was supposed to call him today, and
he must be getting old.
He's getting old, and I tried it from work by pre-schedule, you know, and we had terrible. I tried it twice. Terrible phone interference, static, and I even tried it from a couple of phones here, so it may have been on his end. And tonight they had me call back, and he had gone to a dental appointment, and just felt like hell. And, in California, let me see, Palos Verdes, Estados, California. And so I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. He thought his mouth would be in better shape then.
Well, Ruth can tell you where he stood in the pecking order, but
yeah.
I think it was pretty high.
Okay. I told him about this Alabama Heritage magazine two-parter. Have you seen that? I think I may have mentioned it to you. It's a really nice job by Mike Wright, the historian. But they virtually fill their spring and then their summer issues with a two-parter on Huntsville and the space program. You might try to get a copy.
Well, I might. Yeah, I bet Mike, I know Mike, used to know him way back down when he was a co-op or something.
Right. He did a good job, in my opinion, and, you know, covered it from Coomersdorf to certainly post Apollo.
Well, maybe I'll call him and see if he can send me a copy of it.
Yeah.
That'd be the cheap way of doing it.
Yeah, and I bet he'd be happy to. Anyway, I made a copy and sent it to Dr. Teal, and he thanked me today. Anyway, where were we? We were talking about Oriana.
Maybe I want to correct an impression that I gave.
Okay.
You. And to do that, I may be sort of bearing secrets that I ought not. But anyhow, I don't think Von Braun was a cheapskate. He just didn't take money, particularly coins, in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people are that way. I'm that way.
Milton Cummings was that way.
Yesterday, Francis had to feed a parking meter when we went to town. I just make a habit of not. I put all of my change out every night in a little container on my dresser, and I don't. I just don't take change because it, you know, it's bothering. And I kind of think he was that way. But to indicate to you that he was a generous person, I'll tell you a little story or two that you could confirm with Bunny. I don't know if you are you in touch with Bunny Holmes?
Yes, she and I have talked before, and we have a friendly relationship. She wound up, when I talked to her about Milton Cummings, she wound up saying she really didn't think she could add much to that, and that she lived out in the country then and never ever went to any social events in Huntsville and missed out on the Cummings's entertaining and everything. And she was real nice but real unhelpful. And so I was talking to Ed Buckby that I'd give her another try on Von Braun now, although I did find maybe the only interview she ever did, and this was maybe four or five years ago.
Yeah.
With the Times, where she shared a few little stories. But Ed Buckby said, let me talk to Bonnie. This was about 3 weeks ago. Let me just talk to Bonnie and tell her what you're up to and see if I can kind of grease the skids. So neither he nor she has gotten back to me. So
well,
I'm sorry, it's a long answer to yes, I'm going to give her a try.
Great help to you. There's no way she would level, because she had a. He trusted her, and she worked in a very close and intimate fashion. She took care of a lot of his personal business, and she was in a good position. indicate to you that he was not a cheapskate.
Okay.
Lots of people called on him in those years to do byline pieces, and he readily responded.
Mm-hmm.
Except, as you might suspect, he hardly ever wrote it.
Sure, of course.
He just passed them down to public affairs, so I guess we published them on public information then. And, man, we just take them as an assignment, and we write them.
Mm-hmm. And he was paid for those, or many of them.
Yeah, he got paid. He wasn't always, there were, as far as, well, sometimes we weren't privy to the arrangements made with him. But sometimes maybe in accordance with the deal, or maybe unexpectedly, they would send him a check. And he would, and this is the part that's probably a little bit, certainly unorthodox, maybe unethical. But he would, he'd take that check and he'd split it with the writer. And I would get on some occasions a few dollars from Bun Brown, and he'd put the other part in his pocket. But he would split it with whoever wrote it.
You know, you're the second person who's told me that, and it may have been Foster.
Well, it might have been Red Sharp.
No, I heard it just in the last month or two, and you know, since Mitch's death, it may have been.
Question that it happened, and it happened repeatedly.
Now, mm-hmm.
I would hasten to say there that when he finished with the draft that somebody provided, it was his, because you can't imagine. He was an expert at the English language as well as the German. You can't imagine how he would mark up a manuscript to the point, and this is where Bunny would be valuable, that only Bunny in some cases, could follow his marking.
Right.
He had arrows drawn everywhere. The page was just almost indecipherable.
Mm-hmm.
But it was truly his work, but somebody else did the framework. And of course, I guess if it was a real important assignment like this week, and he had several.
Mm-hmm.
He probably wrote those, as far as I know,
himself. Mm-hmm.
But on these two-bit trade publications, and they were always active, he would just buck them downstairs, or Bonnie would, I was the head of the news branch. Some of them I did, some of them I'd give some other writers there, and they'd work up whatever was required. And sometimes Bun Brown would send a check back down.
Hmm.
And I remember one time in particular. You remember Jim Funkhauser?
Yes, I do. Very well. Went to Mississippi, did he?
Well, he went to...
Or New Orleans, yeah, okay.
New Orleans, and then later he went to the headquarters.
Yeah, Mac went to Mississippi.
Yeah. But Jim and Mac both worked for me in there in those years.
Mm-hmm.
Jim one time drew one of those assignments for something. Jim was sort of our fabrication guy in a way, because he was, well, we got him from the Fab Lab. He was a tech writer with Hayes Aircraft.
Oh, really?
And
from Birmingham.
Yeah, he was, right, but assigned to our Fab Lab, because Hayes operated as a contractor there. And that's where, and I hired him, and he was a graduate of the University Journalism school, but he got off in tech writing, and so sometimes Jim would, a story would just appear to be Jim's, and we did send him, we'd give him a little piece one day for some magazine. Anyhow, some weeks or months later, the magazine sent him around a check for $100.
Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie, of course, had to handle all of this stuff.
Sure.
The reason I say Bonnie ought to be a source for you. Bun Brown wrote Jim a check for $50.
Oh, is that right?
He sent it down, and Jim was just, he was just beside himself. He wasn't going to take that. That wasn't his money, and it was just unethical.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him the check. I guess he came. And I, but his solution was, we'll just all have a party. And do you know, in that time, $50 would give a pretty good party.
I would think so.
He took us all out. He took the whole branch out, and we ate steaks. Somewhere in Oslo, and spent that $50. Now I'm telling you that
right.
To counter the impression I might have given you that he was a cheapskate.
Mm-hmm.
Had he been, he'd have put that $100 in his pocket and
sure.
Never sent it.
You know, it may have been Jim Daniels, whom I did talk to recently, who told me about that, and I think he wrote some articles and speeches himself, and he said. Guy and he and others would often, I don't think he mentioned your name, would often get a piece of those checks. And he said, you know, everybody kind of, I won't say rationalized it, but he said a lot of times, I mean, you know, some of the work was done after hours and off the clock. And
well, it was rationalization.
And that sort of thing. He wasn't trying to say it wasn't ever done on the job, yeah.
Big boss, the very supreme boss that everybody idolized and admired. So if he did it, well, it must have been all right.
Yeah, sure.
That's the kind of way we look.
Sure.
But
sure.
It was not an everyday occasion, but it did happen.
And so, as somebody told me recently, and I'm going to use this because I really had not looked it up. Speaking of rationalization, I understand that when when the Apollo 11 crew landed on the moon, Von Braun was making, I think it was $39,000. It could have been $37,000. That was his salary with NASA, $37,000. Of course, he could have commanded many more times than that in industry. And it was Lee James who told me, and that Lee said he was making $35,000 working under Von Braun. And so I guess some, when you had kids and everything, some extra money helped.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that
in
don't
his case.
Numbers, I don't
yeah.
I'm sure that sounds about
yeah. Right. Well, good. I won't make him out to be a cheapskate. I may say that he just had a habit of rarely or never having any money on him.
Yeah, and.
Yeah, and Milton Cummings,
and
they tell me, was the same way, unless
well,
he was on a...
Said of, by others of
yes.
Brown, I guess.
Yes, I have.
I don't think I was the only one to
Others have told me, indeed, about that. Anything else occurred to
well,
you from you know other trips? For one thing, you said you did wind up traveling with him a good deal. Let's pray for rain for more
well,
reasons than that. And if you do get a chance to do that and feel like, you know, if something comes to mind and give me a call, I'd appreciate it. I do hope to wrap up the putting of all this together by the end of this year.
Is it pretty much an out-and-out biography or what?
You know my funny thing happened on the way to the moon,
yeah.
Which had no organization to it all,
yeah.
And then the light stuff that I did, which did have some logical chapter organization to it, you know, by topics or period or something. This is going to be an anthology, if you will, of little stories. You know, some of them may run a printed page, but there'll be anecdotes, vignettes, little glimpses with a point to them. You know, it's not a real punchline, a illuminate some facet of his personality, or in some cases, it'll just be amusing incidents that happen.
Have you interviewed Bill Lucas?
I have not. I've thought about. I interviewed Bill for Milton Cummings, and it was a. Did I tell you?
No, he did.
Oh, it was a very productive interview.
Well, it would be in the case of Buck Brown, because Lucas, that of course I believe is a German name, but he, nevertheless, he was the first American, to, in my expression, to break the Kraut line.
Uh-huh.
Lucas, Von Braun tapped him very early to be a star in the whole thing, and of course he was in position to succeed Everhard Ries.
Mm-hmm.
That was the plan, but the hierarchy in Washington threw a monkey wrench into that. And that I don't know, but it was in the bringing of Rocco Petrone to put the axe to the decks of the Germans. And that's, I'll always believe that was the principal reason that Rocco was, brought in.
You know, it was suspected when he arrived, and he bore it out.
Yeah. See, Lucas was deputy.
Okay.
He would have been the natural successor, except that when Ries retired, well, the Washington folks brought Bronco in, who had served earlier as a major in the organization.
Oh, yeah. Who had Bronco?
Bronco had,
yeah. I think he'd risen to colonel or?
Huh?
To colonel or maybe? Maybe a light colonel.
Well, I don't think he went above light colonel, but he served here, I think, as a captain. And now, again, other people would.
I'd forgotten that. He served at Redstone, huh?
I think that's right.
Huh.
Maybe not for long, but he went to the Cape, assigned to Davis as a major, and eventually made light colonel.
Mm-hmm.
And took his discharge. But I'm not too clear on all of that, but I believe he served in the Guided Missile Development Division of Redstone Arsenal prior to ABMA as a captain, an Army captain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bunny would probably know.
Sure. That. And we may even have him in our bio files. And, you know, of course, Bill wound up serving longer than anyone has, including Von Braun.
As the director.
As director. Then he took the fall over Challenger, apparently.
Well, Lucas, he is a really a very, very strange person. You just don't encounter him.
Mm-hmm.
He was just devilishly hard to work for. It was never any fun working for Bill Lucas.
A lot of people have told me that.
Lord have mercy, he was so demanding, but he was no more so on you than he was on himself.
Mm-hmm.
He just routinely, year after year, worked 12-hour days.
Hmm.
Set your watch by the arrival of his little old black beetle in that parking lot at 7 in the morning.
Hmm.
And he was there most nights, too, except when it's been church night. He was there most nights till 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
He was just fierce.
Very demanding and,
very demanding.
What, sort of humorless or not?
No, on occasion. He could let his hair down.
Mm-hmm.
But it never endured. It just lasted long. But I've got a high, a very high regard for him. But it was never any fun working for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you've encouraged me to do that. I will talk to him.
Oh, I by all means I would, because he can. Well, he's now got time too. I don't know, but I guess he's not working.
I think not. I don't know if he has any relationship with UAH anymore. If you've got another couple of minutes. If I haven't already done so, and I don't think I did, I could share my interview list with you, and you might spot some other holes. You got a second?
Yeah.
Let's see. Bob Schwinghammer, and I just talked with him. We did it yesterday or the day before. I think yesterday. And he recalled a few things. And Mike Wright had a number. He quoted Schwinghammer as much as anybody in that two-part long piece he did in the magazine. And Bob confirmed all those and said, you know, you can use those, which I might use some of them with attribution to Mike's piece. The tentative that I got with question marks here, George von Tiesenhausen. I want to talk to Alex McCool, whom I don't know, but
yeah.
He comes highly recommended. I'm thinking about talking to Doris Toftoy Williams, the general's daughter.
Yeah.
Chuck Lundquist, Dave Christensen. I think he may have had a few associations with Von Braun. Dr. Teal, as I said. Jim Shepard and I are going to get together soon. I've made contact with him. Bonnie Holmes, I got down here. Frank Williams. I called Frank the other day, and he's going to give it
up. Where is he?
He's in Slidell, and he and his wife also have a place, I think he said in Gulf Shores. Could have been Destin, but I think he said Gulf Shores, where he is as we speak. I'm going to talk to him in October. Tom Shaner, somebody recommended as a one-time assistant to Von Braun, recently retired from Marshall. Werner Dahm, who is the last old team member, I think, still at Marshall. Bob Lindstrom and I are going to talk next week. John Zert. Or Zirk, and he was very helpful to me on my Cummings research. He got to know Milton pretty well, and they played golf, and Wilson Brown was a customer and all that. And Fred Ordway, someone reminded me I ought to talk to him, but writers like to say he's probably written everything he knows.
Yeah.
possibly Dave Akins.
And possibly more.
Someone just very recently suggested through his legislative and George Wallace and Space and Rocket Center connections that maybe I would talk with him. And Harry was also helpful about Cummings. Here's a Joe Jones here, Ernst Stuhlinger, after I finished reading his biography of Von Braun, which I'm doing now. Mr. Reisig, somebody suggested. A couple of pilots for Von Braun, Ed Grubbs and Tom Felder or Felker or something. I met him at the that Birmingham luncheon the other day, and they both said, yeah, they'd be glad to talk with me about some of their trips and flights with him. Ray Klein was suggested.
Yeah.
and I've placed a call to him this evening. Got his machine. Julie Curtis, if she's still around the Washington area, was his secretary up there. And let's see, I've already talked to Jay at length, Jay Foster, Jim Odom, Ruth Von Sarma, Doretta Schlitt, who was, did I mention that?
Yeah.
Rocky Clark, who's been out at Marshall and Redstone since about 57, I think. Still there. An engineer. Ed, and anyway, these are people I've already talked to. Ed Moller, Ed Buckby, Conrad Dannenberg.
Where is Moller?
Moller is living in retirement here off of Weatherly Road. And he had a few stories, never been told or published before, that were, you know, worthwhile, usable. Connie Dannenberg, Dr. William Pickering, just the other day, Jim Daniels, Lee James, Dave Newby, and as I said, I've already talked to Schwinghammer.
Well, you've got a good.
So I got it. That's it. Anybody else?
Yeah, let me mention a man you possibly could never trace down.
Okay.
Herman Kerwa, K-O-E-L-L-E, was a new generation German that von Braun. You know, he went back to...
Oh, I remember. Was he Future Studies?
Yeah.
K-O-E-L-L-E.
Some of the most fantastic ideas. Frank Williams was his deputy.
Okay.
But Kerwa was... Man, he was a far-out guy.
Maybe Frank would know.
Well, I don't know, but Ruth would know.
Oh, okay.
Now, he didn't stay very long. He didn't stay after, I'm going to say mid-60s. I don't know. He went back to Germany. He got a professorship. He was pretty highly thought of in Germany, and he got a... some kind of a spectacular academic offer, and he went back to Germany. But see, von Braun, as you may know this, or maybe you can pursue it if you don't, for a while there, when after we got rolling in space, he made a deliberate attempt to recruit young Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to Hermann in that, and he got another guy named Harry, what was his name? And boy, was he a long hair. Harry. Anyhow, he worked with Hermann in the Future Projects business.
Huh. I remember writing a story about Curla's coming, I think, or either about his work.
Yeah. If you talk to Ruth, she can mention, she can tell you the name of Harry.
Okay.
Who was in that day. Had long hair, and that wasn't
okay.
But he was still younger than Curla. He was just a young guy, but von Braun principally was the recruit. I don't know who his agent was abroad, but you know, he was able to do. You could do things back then, and he found people and hired them. Brought him over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, he hired his old mentor, didn't he, for a year?
Yeah, Herman over. Yeah, that was kind of pathetic.
Was it?
He was a lost ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now
that was sentimental journey.
That was in the Army. He was still in the Army when that happened. But Brown, I think. I don't think. That happened around 59 or 60.
Right. I think it was maybe
but
early.
Harry, what's his name, and but more especially Herman Curwa.
Okay.
Be a good choice.
All right. I'll ask Ruth.
Von Braun really, he took those guys in, and they were pretty top drawer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else occur to you? Okay.
You know him?
Yes, I do.
He was, I sat by him down at Birmingham the other day. Hauserman was always Von Braun's guidance and control man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they changed that, the name of that function time after time, and finally, I guess, went back to Astrionics so not too long ago. But Hauserman was always, he was the guidance and control guy. Stabilized platform man, and he's still lucid, and he'd be a well, he won't quite measure up to Sulliger as a lieutenant, but he was to, pretty well the top of the heap.
Okay.
And he'd be a good man.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I want to do it justice, but I can continue it forever if I, like I did with Cummings, if I don't cut it off. I wound up having more than 200 interviews with regarding Cummings, and I'm still waiting on the tapes to be all transcribed. I think I probably told you that, but we're gonna get to it one of these days. But one interview kept leading to three more, and then
then there's another guy who really was never a favorite of mine. In fact, I always I kind of put him in the Ordway class.
Mm-hmm.
But Fred Cleese.
I did talk with him when he came back for a visit.
Yeah, he was in the latter Army months.
Right.
I think he probably was more than a few months or maybe a year. He was Von Braun's military aide. So he had a, and of course, Bonnie would know all about that.
I did, Cleese came to town for a couple, three, well, maybe early this summer.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I sat in on Bill Easterling's interview by prearrangement, and asked a few questions after Bill was through of myself. And really, really didn't get much that was useful. There were a few things, and Cleese was telling me, he was an armed escort, or almost like a security man, you know, not a bodyguard at times, but he traveled.
Well, he was sort of a strutting young lieutenant.
Was he? Yeah.
We saw him. I saw him, and I think others did, too, as sort of a competitor to Bonnie. For a few months there, you hardly knew whether to deal with Cleese or with Bunny, because Cleese wanted to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But Bunny was always the contact with my friend. And you know, it was no big deal just talk to Bunny about your problem, and she talked to him.
I got you. Well, she'd be a treasure trove if she'll share with me. So I'll give her a try.
Well, yeah, I bet she will.
Okay, Joe, you start going through those boxes. And it's because you don't have anything to do, I'm sure. I mean, you're retired and everything.
Yeah.
And then give me another call.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, and speaking of these VIP visitors, and I appreciate you reminding me about some of those press stars. If any other VIPs occurred to you, let me know too.
Well,
you know, all this may make a graph or two.
One. Yeah, okay. There's one the list up there, and you may already be aware of this, but back there in about 57. Edward Armborough was in his prime. It might have even been, it must have been 57. He did a one-hour program called Biography of a Missile.
Uh-huh.
You remember that, or do you have
No,
that
I don't.
About the year that you came to Huntsville.
That's true.
Well,
Biography of a Missile.
Biography of a Missile was the name of the program, and the producer, I was Fred Friendly. Fred Friendly.
Oh, yeah, great name.
Okay. Well, Fred Friendly was Murrow's producer.
I think he very, very recently died.
I think so. He went on to journalism school
Columbia or wherever.
Columbia, I believe it was. But there was to be this, this nobody had ever done anything like this. But Fred Friendly was, and he was, you know, he had great ideas, and the sky was the limit. And I went to New York, E.C. Wooten and I.
Mm-hmm.
Remember E.C.?
Oh, yes.
E.C. and I went to New York to sit down with Mr. Murrah and Mr. Friendly and find out what they wanted on this program. Did, I guess, discover what they wanted, and they treated us royally. They got sent out, got tickets, and sent us to a couple of Broadway shows,
mm-hmm.
and we stayed there 2 days. And we came home with this long list of things that they wanted to do, and we were at that point just barely getting into production on the Jupiter, and but the object, I think, was. It was a Juno, too.
Mm-hmm.
Might have therefore been 15.
Now, was that modified Redstone, or
it
what?
It was a Jupiter, elongated Jupiter with the same cluster on top that was developed for the Redstone with the assistance of JPL.
Okay.
Except it had a shroud over it. More of a sleek looking
mm-hmm.
rocket than the Jupiter C. But they called it Juno 2.
Uh-huh.
But it was a basic Jupiter, 150,000. Well, it had an upgraded engine, 188,000 pounds thrust.
Mm-hmm.
It was 150 for the regular Jupiter.
Right.
But we came back down here with their list of requirements, and we met with Hans Miles.
Mm-hmm.
But he was head of the Fab Lab, and so we worked with those folks, and the CBS people came in and just took over, and well, they needed, I'll never forget this, they needed a certain shot from up high down on the floor, the assembly floor, 4705.
In the Fab Lab.
Yeah, in the Fab Lab. The only way to get that shot was to remove this handrail on the balcony. And we did. We took torches in there and cut that rail down and moved it out so that these people could get a proper view of it.
I'll be damned.
Oh,
this was serious business.
It was.
And what, that hour biography of a missile?
Yeah.
Ensued?
Yeah, it was 1 hour long.
Hmm. Prime time, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was, the TV was a new medium, and Murrah was right at the top of that, and he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
And he had a pushy producer in Fred Friendly.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
But that was, I don't know, nothing really spectacular about that.
And I guess Von Braun was, I mean, he was certainly filmed.
Oh, yeah. No.
Along with the commanding general.
Well,
or maybe not.
Well, no, it was Friendly Von Braun. We might have had a little courtesy shot, I guess, for their understanding. But it was Friendly Von Braun.
Right.
Okay, well. Wish you luck.
All right, Joe. Thanks for all of the above. I appreciate it here.
Right.
You take care.